Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is a brainstorm. I'm going to say a lot of science words, so buckle up, you guys. This is an exciting topic. This is actually a beloved topic to me because I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, which means I am a very armchair psychologist and I'm enamored with any brain science. So today's topic is that there is a neurodevelopmental shift in reward circuitry from mothers to non-familial voices in adolescence.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
It does.
Make it unfancy.
It means your young people in their teens stop listening and attending to the mother's voice and start being more engaged by other people's voices. They literally stop listening to you. Science says so. The good people of Stanford say so. But Stanford School of Medicine has done a study. Lead study author Daniel Abrams, and the study was published in the Journal of Neuroscience, and it shows that teen brains do shift from focusing on the mom's voice to the voice of peers. And they studied this by taking 46 kids between the ages of 7 and 16 and popping them into an MRI. So many good studies begin that way.
Can you see an eye roll on an MRI? You know, can you imagine? They're like, okay, now we're going to play some recordings. And the 16-year-old is like, oh my God. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that is kind of how it went. So what they did to study it is they had the teen's mom, and they used biological moms. They had them within a similar IQ range. And so they controlled a lot of variables and demographics. And so the mother would say three nonsense words so that there was no loading. Because if you say dishes, the kid might have a response like, I'm not doing the damn dishes. but if the mom says flibbertigibbet, they're just like, well, that's odd, but okay.
Yeah.
Right. So she would say three nonsense words. And then they would also, the scientists played other ambient sounds, like maybe a dishwasher, so that they could see what the brain does when it's of an actual verbal cue versus the sound from the environment. So they tried to gather as much data about what the brain was doing. They also had two women unfamiliar to the subjects saying the same nonsense words.
Okay.
So the teens were able to correctly identify their mother's voices 97% of the time, which is no surprise.
So everybody knows that it's mom talking.
Yes, there's no surprise there. Oh, here's a fun, interesting fact with the results of this. The responses to the verbal cues, whether it was more toward mom or more toward other voices, were so distinct that the scientists could fairly closely pinpoint the age of the student. So they could look at a brain scan and say, this kid is over 13. This kid is under. This kid's probably closer to the 7-year-old range because of the strength of the response to one stimulus or the other. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh.
It is that distinct.
I say pumpkin nuggets and a 7-year-old's brain goes, ooh, that's mom.
Mom. Mm-hmm.
And I say pumpkin nuggets to my 16-year-old and the brain goes, a word was said, but I don't really care.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So when the teenagers, what distinguished teens from the younger children was that the unfamiliar voices elicited that greater activity than the moms in the nucleus accumbens of the reward processing system and in the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which is a region involved in assigning value to social information. That is a fun little fact.
Wow.
Your prefrontal cortex, it's important.
So, I mean, nature is making you want to not be at home. It's making you want to go get novel experiences.
Yes. Yep, the switch toward unfamiliar voices happened in the brains right around 13 years of age, regardless of gender. And they did the traditional boy-girl. They didn't test dads. They didn't test non-binary parents. For this study, they just did moms and just did a very specific lane. But they are interested in finding out more because, like, the implications of children, younger children with attachment issues, perhaps there's a mechanism here.
Hmm.
So there is interest in, and what is it like for the dad? Presumably it would be similar.
I would think.
And then what about non-bio parents? If you've been raised from birth by someone that didn't biologically have you, I think it's such an interesting subject of how much do those connections, what's nature, what's nurture?
Right. I would think, okay, so this is just me armchair sciencing here.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that it's going to be any one who is in a position of authority through your childhood is going to, so if it's grandma, if it's dad, if it's aunt, you know, if it's mom, whoever that person is or people are that are telling you what to do all the time.
Yeah. If you view them as your source of food and safety,
then you're going to look for something novel. Cause that sounds like it's the novelty, right?
It's
like
to shove you out of the nest.
Yeah. Sense. You don't understand me. I'm going to go talk to my friends at school. You know, I want to listen to their voices.
I wonder what it's like too for families like in Little House on the Prairie when they lived and didn't see people for very frequently.
Oh, jeez.
What would that be like for those kids? It's just sitting there dormant. You just get annoyed with your family, but you don't get any novelty.
That's true. You'd just be mad. That moody, mad, not wanting to listen. Oh my gosh, this explains everything. But then I want to know, does it turn off? Does it reverse? So that
that's a good question.
Do you reach a certain age where you can actually hear them again?
I kind of hope so.
And like you want to talk to them in that way that I feel like I came around.
That's an interesting question. Stanford, jump on it.
Somebody write a grant.
Yes, please. I feel like that would be an easy one. And the biggest thing is going to just be the processing of the data. It's just going to take some time.
Right. You should do that. Get a study.
I'm afraid my bachelor's degree isn't really going to, people aren't probably going to want to give me money.
Come on. I only need an MRI and a couple of mil. It's nothing. It's peanuts.
This does branch out from a study done in 2016 where they studied the, how do mom's voices affect the brains of younger children? And they light up like fireworks. Areas triggered in the brain are lots of auditory processing areas, reward centers, emotional processing, visual processing, and brain networks that decide which incoming information is salient. So that filter of, is this important or not? Like all the areas are like, it's my mom. And your brain's so happy. So, aww. And babies, fetuses in utero can recognize their mom's voices before they're born. And yet adolescents can't even with their mom.
Why are you still talking?
I would say I have a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old, and it's been a while since the 18-year-old went through this. But I could tell you kind of the year and the time of year when this started happening with my 15-year-old. I'm like, where did my baby go? I remember when that started drifting. And now I know it's science and he's not just a terrible person. So that's a relief.
I love that your takeaway wasn't, what was I doing wrong? It was like, he's not a terrible person.
What is he doing wrong? We're going to come out with a parenting series after this, everybody. I'm going to be the lead author on that.
Oh my gosh, that's super great.
It's my brainstorm.
Well, if you'd like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk Podcast. And wherever you listen, please like and subscribe. Check out our Instagram for fun science facts. Our Facebook page is a great place to go if you have comments or questions. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.